thank God for the visitors who are with us. We want to thank for holding down the fort. We had Brother John who stood in the gap. Got a good report that you were able to hold everything together. It's always a blessing. And I want to thank God for every one of you who is here with us this morning. As I said, we got Mother Lemon back with us tonight. My brother Floyd and his beautiful Missy. And one of my very privileged guests, Sir Robert, is sitting there. All of you are very, very terribly important, and I hope I didn't miss somebody so somebody can be mad at me. But I just thank God for all of you. I want to make sure you know that you are welcome at St. Timothy's. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead. There is a word from the Lord. And as you know, this is traditional Palm Sunday. Amen. And we're going to talk a little bit about what that means. Amen. What it meant at that time when it was initially coined to be said and called Palm Sunday.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about what it continues to mean even today. Amen. And what it will mean on into eternity. Amen. It's a very significant event that took place on Palm Sunday. So just before we do this, we're going to go right ahead once again and welcome our Facebook family who's joining us now online, and we thank God for you. Amen. And we'd like to get the word out in obedience to the Great Commission. Jesus said, go, he told his disciples. There were just a group of 12 that he had called. One of them had betrayed him. So they had 11, but he dispatched them knowing he would call someone else to the mission field a little later. So God is always in the mix working on everything.
Amen.
Amen. Wherever you are in your life and your experience, God is in the mix.
Yes.
He knows what you've been through, and he also knows where he's taking you.
Yes.
He knows where you want to go. He knows about your desires, your aspirations, your dreams, your hopes. And you know what? The thing that amazes me, he knows about all of my shortcomings, everything I have ever come short of. But like that song said, he is the joy and the strength of my life. And he knows how to move everything around to make it work.
Amen.
Amen. That's why the scripture says that for we know that God works all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Yes.
Amen. You know what? He said that you did not choose me, he told his disciples, but I have chosen you. And I have ordained you. See, so they did not choose him, he chose them. Every disciple that is here in this room, guess how you got here? God chose you. The scripture says that he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. So that's how we got here. We didn't get here because we were so brilliant or we went to courses or any of that. You know, God called us out of whatever darkness we were in. And called us into his marvelous light, which is a way of saying, I'm giving you understanding and revelation to the eternal things that I have spoken in my word.
Yes.
And why did he do it is a good question. The answer to that question is because he loves you.
Amen.
God loves you wherever you are in life. Now, that's a very hard one. And y'all have heard me say this before, many of you, is that that was one of the hardest things for me to digest, is why would God love me? You know what? I wasn't even sure if I loved myself. Because there were some things in my life that were way out of order. But God loved me. I heard that from someone, and I said, oh, you know, okay, it was hard for me to hear that. But the truth is, he does love
me. Yes, he does.
And that's because no matter what you went through, whatever you've been through, God kept you. Whatever you had to go through in life to get from where you were to where you are today, God kept you.
Amen.
And he blessed you.
Yes.
You know what? He didn't have to do it. I used to say this to a lot of people. Y'all know, most of you who know me know I spent quite a bit of time in prison ministry. And I would tell the guys many times when they come for the service, I used to be over at Hall Street. People say, oh, they don't like Hall Street. I said, I thought it was a great field of evangelism. But I told them, you know what, God let you skip Calvary Cemetery, which is right up the street, and come here.
Wow.
So that you could hear the word, that he loves you.
Amen.
That he's here for you. That he has not chosen to judge you, but I choose to love on you. And to forgive you. He is the great God of forgiveness.
Amen.
And I said, the only reason I'm here to tell you about it is because he had mercy on me. So I'm not in here to get on a pedestal and act as though I'm some all that in a bag of chips. I'm here to let you know that because of his mercy, I am here. And because of his mercy, you are here.
Amen.
Amen. So that's something you can count on. You can know that he loves you, he has kept you, he has blessed you. Whatever you went through, whatever the devil tried to do against you, God said no. He shut it down. The devil, you know, the scripture, he has an M.O. too. The word says that he came for to steal, kill, and destroy. So that means if the devil had his weapons pointed towards you to steal, kill, and destroy, and you're still here, guess what happened? God preserved you. He blessed you and kept you. It didn't make any difference what weapons he used, whether it was sickness, disappointment, anything, discouragement, he had a lot of that. You know, we like you all to be discouraged and feel put down and set back and let you think, oh God, just like he did Job. He told him, you know, that his friends came and told him that, you know, God, we must have done something, boy, because you messed up, you jacked up. Your situation is not good. And you walking around talking about you know God. His own friends came and spoke evil against him. See, tried to knock him down in the midst of his troubles. But God knew something about Job, and that's not our message for today, but I just have to say this.
Yeah.
He knew that Job is an upright man. He boasted to the devil about Job. You know what? The devil was minding his business. God said to him, have you considered my servant Job? God started that conversation. Yo, he's an upright man who fears God and eschews evil.
Yes.
The devil said, yeah, it's only because you bless him so much. You didn't bless him so much. Just take down some of that protection you got all around him. I would mess him up and blow his account with you. That's a modern interpretation. And what God said, okay, I'm going to take it down, but you can't kill it because he don't belong to you.
All right.
You know, our soul does not belong to the devil.
Amen.
God owns him.
Amen.
And he has the devil in check. The devil can't do anything if God doesn't give him permission. Did you know that? So we need to have a right perspective about Almighty God.
Yes.
People give the devil a whole lot of credit, like he's running around doing everything he wants. But that's not the case. Jesus told Peter, he said, Simon, Simon. He called him by his old name. But you're not acting like Peter. I said, you're right, but you keep acting like Simon. He said, don't you know that Satan has sought to have you that he might sift you as wheat? But I pray for you. He didn't say, I told him, stop. He said, I pray for you that your faith fail not. So that when you are converted, you can strengthen your brothers. So God will let us go through some trials and some tribulations. So that it will strengthen you. So that when you come across a person that's going through trials and tribulations, you got some experience with that thing. That God didn't fail me. He didn't let me down. He brought me through even in a time of trouble. Even when I didn't have confidence in myself, he was there. And he knew he had built some things into my character that was sustained even through the works of the devil.
Yes.
So God has some faith in you.
Amen.
And he gives you faith to trust in him. But let's take a look at this Palm Sunday situation here. As we approach a very special time of the year when we traditionally celebrate Palm Sunday, let us dig into a bit more just then to find out about this beautiful event known as Palm Sunday, which is proof positive that only Jesus Christ could ever be the Savior sent by God his Father in all time.
Yes.
That's what Palm Sunday really tells us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, people today who rejected Christ, his own people, the scripture says he came to his own, but his own received him not.
Amen.
That means he came to the Jewish people that he had called and blessed and sanctified, separated from Abraham, brought them through 42 generations.
Mm-hmm.
And they rejected him and mocked him. They took his word and turned it into something else other than what he had said that it should be. Most of them, not all of them. Do you know this? That in all time, God has had a remnant of believing people.
Always. Yeah.
No matter what has happened throughout all time, God has had a remnant. That means a small piece, not the big piece. Like when you go buy carpet and you fit it all into your house and cut it out so it fits all your steps and all the corners in your house, there's some pieces left. Because you have to buy more than you need. That the pieces that are left are called the remnants. It's the smaller little bit of the whole big picture, not the whole picture.
Yes.
See, so the remnant is a group of people that have always trusted God throughout the years. They trusted God and they held on no matter what the majority was doing. They kept their minds stayed on Him.
Amen.
That's why there were still people around at the time when Jesus showed up that had faith.
Amen.
They were looking forward to the coming of Messiah. Messiah had been prophesied in the scripture over and over, all the way from the very beginning in Genesis 3:15, clear on up to Malachi. God went silent on the Jews for about 400 years after the days of Malachi, because they had done everything to reject His counsel and His word. They had started doing it their own way. Does that remind you of anybody?
No.
It's something else when you forget about God and start doing things your own way. And you don't even have Him in your thoughts. You don't factor in who He is and what He has done for you. And you keep on going on and doing it your way. But it's interesting. The Jews had done this. They got to a place where they set up a religious system, but it wasn't based on the truth and the facts of God's word. It had been contaminated with human judgment and perception. And so when Jesus came, that's why He was not recognized by many of them. You know what? When He showed up, they knew. Just like Nicodemus, who came in John 3, the scripture says there He came by night. And He said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, because no man can do the signs that God doeth except God be with him." Now we know what we see what you're doing, it has to be God.
Amen.
What do you mean? Because He walked on the water. He stilled the storm. He gave sight to the blind. He cleansed leprosy, which no one had ever been able to do. And He did all kinds of things that only God could do.
Only God.
So Nicodemus came saying, "Looking at what you did, we know you must be a teacher come from God. Because no man can do the signs that thou doest except God be with him." That's in John chapter 3. Jesus looked at Nicodemus, as you know, and said, "Except the man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." That term "born again" means to be born from above. God has to bless you with a new birth from above. He wants to do this for everyone. But you know what? He won't do it against your will. So Nicodemus came wanting to seek Jesus because he knew that his works proved who he was.
Yes.
I can tell you have to be God, because this man that we've been knowing all our life has been blind since he was born.
That's right.
And now he can see. He got 20/20 vision now.
Oh.
Walking around, only God could do that. See, in so many things he had done, preached the fact that he was God in the flesh.
Yes.
But it was hard for them to grasp because they didn't like how he looked. They didn't like where he came from. They didn't like the story of his birth. There were so many things they didn't understand that God had done and executed perfectly, but they thought it went another way.
Yes.
They accused his mother of being a loose woman.
Yes, they did.
That slipped up and got pregnant before she was married. You see what I'm saying? And they talked about her and scandalized him to his face many times about things, but they didn't understand that God, the Holy Spirit, had orchestrated his birth. And that everything that he had promised all the way through from Genesis 3, clear on up to Malachi, chapter 4, was all true.
Yes.
And Jesus was the one who came at the right moment in time to fulfill all those things. Let's take one example where I want you to see that Jesus is the Messiah, and he came right on time. There is no other. We don't need to look for another, although we live in a world that will be looking for Messiah still, because they have rejected the true Christ, the true Messiah, including his own people. That's why that text in John is very critical. He said he came to his own, but his own received him not. And they're still there now, 2,022 years later, many of them in rejection of Messiah who has already come. And you know what, God, let me just add this right here before we press into this lesson. I want you to see that God centered this entire world around Jesus at his first coming. That's why it is 2022. Because it's been 2,022 years since Jesus was born.
Amen.
You can't be mad at it. It's up in your face, whether you like it or not. You know, that didn't happen because of a myth. It didn't happen, you know, and it's not just true in America. It's true around the planet.
Yes, it is. Amen.
From the north to the south pole, and as far as the east is from the west, it's true. Mm-hmm. The stock market clock is ticking seconds to tell you that it's 2022 and moving forward. That means from the birth of Jesus the Christ, the Messiah.
Yes.
So God put that credential on him, so it will be difficult for you to ignore him. In fact, you got to go against some things that are very present in your life in order for you to ignore Jesus the Christ. God put it in the world. So what, you know what? It's not just people in America. This is a global situation that God has provided.
Amen.
So that you will respect his son and be saved. He wanted to be so much in your face that it'll be hard for you to deny him. If you deny it, something has to be wrong with your judgment, because you do have to ask the question, why is the world counting time based on this first advent of Messiah? Why do half the people in the world reject him, even though the calendar is telling you he is the Christ?
Yes, he is.
How did God put that fact up in your face and on your birth certificate and everywhere else and all your bank accounts and everything that you own, but you want to say it's not so? Why would you do that? Why would you check and examine the claims of Christ and look at the word of God and find out that he is the Christ, the Messiah? That when he came, it was right on time. You know what I say, right on time? Because time is still ticking based on when he came.
Amen.
It had been prophesied for hundreds of years before his birth. From Malachi to the New Testament, where Jesus was revealed, are 400 years. Hear me on that.
Yes.
How many people were born and passed away in 400 years? Probably a lot of them. But you know what? God has enough information in the world that whoever you are, you have enough information about his son to believe him and be saved.
Amen.
So you really are without excuse. That's what Paul writes in the book of Romans. That men are without excuse if they deny Messiah and fail to be saved. Because God has the evidence of the Christ in everything in your life. So you have to overlook all of that. Not to mention the scripture that God has given.
Yes.
And you know what Jesus said, and it's true, the scripture cannot be broken. You can break yourself trying to break it, but it cannot be broken. And the fact is, God has sent his son to bless you. Because he loves you and he wants you to be his child, his son, or his daughter.
Amen.
He wrote about it generations before Jesus came. Let's just give one example for today. We don't want it to be too long. I know y'all probably got some briskets and all kinds of things stirring up at the oven, or you want to go to your favorite restaurant and celebrate. So we're not going to try to be too long with you today. But I want you to see Zechariah chapter 9. Actually, technically, Zechariah is the oldest book in the Old Testament. The last book, let's say, in time as far as chronology is concerned. Although in our Bible, Malachi is the last book that's listed. But I want you to see that Zechariah the prophet writes in chapter 9 concerning Palm Sunday, "Rejoice all greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, even upon a colt, and the foal of an ass." This is a young donkey. The colt and the young donkey, the foal of the colt. Now it's true that Jesus came and fulfilled this. He came riding in. If you read the Palm Sunday story, we would call it the week before the crucifixion.
Yep.
Jesus came in right on schedule.
Yes, he did.
He came in riding up on the donkey with the foal of the colt. That means the young donkey riding beside him. And he came right in, and the people started to lay their garments in the roads and to shout, "Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." You know why they say that? That was from a set of Psalms that had been written in Egypt. They were looking for Messiah all the way from Egypt.
Yes, they were.
You know why? Because God made a lamb, the sacrificial animal, for the Passover, all the way back when they were in bondage in Egypt. And that's why he told him to keep the Passover every year. This is a sacred and solemn feast to you.
Yes.
So all those years while they were in captivity under Egypt, the dominion of Egypt, they had to slay a lamb, take a lamb, and a young, unblemished male lamb of the first year. The best among the fold. They wanted to get the very best one, God said.
Amen.
And take him and bring him in the house with you for several days before the Passover. And then come out on the night of the Passover and at twilight slay him.
Yes.
And take his blood and put it in a basin and take a piece of hyssop and strike it up on the lintel and up on the doorposts of your house. That's where we get this symbol, the lintel and the doorposts of your house.
Amen.
And put that blood up there. Then roast the lamb and enjoy him. Have a feast, God's here. Celebrate what God has done for you. And then get in that house at sunset under the blood. Go in under the blood that's on the lintel and on the doorpost of the house.
Yes.
And when the angel of death comes through, God said there's judgment coming over the land of Egypt.
Amen.
This night the angel of death will fly over.
Yes.
And if he sees the blood, he'll skip your house.
Yes.
And spare the firstborn in your house.
But
if he doesn't see the blood, the firstborn in every house that does not acknowledge the Passover will be smitten with death. Can you imagine the agony in Egypt when they say, "Yeah, we don't believe all that stuff"? What do you mean? The angel of death killed a lamb, put his blood on the door. What do you mean? They were sarcastic and unbelieving until the next day when the angel of death flew over that night and didn't see the blood. Because he smote the firstborn in every house in the land of Egypt with death.
Yes, he did.
You know, and so God highlighted the lamb. He highlighted the firstborn.
Yes.
He highlighted the blood on the lintel. That's the cross piece and on the post.
Yes.
That's blood this way and that way.
Yeah.
Over your house. And all of this was done by faith so that whoever went in that house was under the blood and they were protected from the angel of death.
That's right. Amen.
So God had this symbol that was built into the culture of Egypt and through the culture of the Jews who had been in Egypt. And then he delivered them out of Egypt and brought them into the promised land. Told them, you will practice this Passover every year. And you know what they did? They had written songs while they were down in the land of Egypt about the coming blessing of God, because God had promised a day when they would be delivered from bondage and brought into a land that he would give them.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what he told them? So he brought them out miraculously. You all know the story, brought them out through the Red Sea on dry land when their enemies were still pursuing them. In the end of this time, when God said, I'm going to deliver you out of Egypt,
mm-hmm.
brought them to a place where the only way out was through the Red Sea.
Yes.
And told Moses, stretch forth your rod. And he did, and the sea peeled back, and they were able to go through on dry land, cross the Red Sea into the promised land. So they were always looking forward to the coming of Messiah. He would be the deliverer. The scripture said he would be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
And so they practice this even today. There's someone in America who is Jewish and also in Israel still practicing Passover.
Mm-hmm.
They have ignored the fact that on this day that Zechariah prophesied of the true Messiah, which was being foreshadowed by all those other sacrifices that come.
Yes.
He came and he was there in their sight. He was received as the Messiah. They he came in just like the prophets had said, with rejoice greatly, it says here, Zechariah writes, O daughter of Zion,
yes.
shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, that's the sons and the daughters of Israel. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. Do you see that?
Yes.
Lowly and riding upon an ass. So he came in exactly according to this prophecy that Zechariah had spoken. So in Egypt they wrote songs to celebrate the coming of the Christ, the Messiah. Those songs are found in your Bible in Psalms 113 to 118. It's a set of psalms called the Hallel. And you know, that word Hallel, does that sound familiar? How about Hallelujah? It's a praise to God.
Yes.
It has to do with an expectancy from God that God will deliver what he has promised. And so many of the Old Testament prophecies and passages, such as the Egyptian Hallel, which was written by the children of Israel in the land of Egypt, from Psalms 113 to 118 and Zechariah 9:9, are being fulfilled as Jesus, the son of David, who is the Messiah, came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey and was joyfully received by the multitudes at the exact moment that had been predicted and prophesied by many of the prophets in this event that we call Palm Sunday. It was a week before he was rejected. It was a week before Good Friday, as we call it, which is coming up in this coming week. So when he first came, after they saw his works, they received him gladly. Isn't that something? Came right in the manner that the prophets had spoken. He was received by them. They shouted, "Hosanna!" in the highest. They had palm branches in their hands, waving them, and they had strewn their garments and palm branches on the road leading into the temple. And they received him as the king. And they shouted, "Hosanna!" in the highest, having saved now. They were looking for Jesus to come right at that moment and restore Israel. We've been looking at this in Bible study. You don't want to miss this week's Bible study. We've been talking about it. It's something you don't want to get all the little nuggets and information about, because we're going into much more detail than we have time to do on Sunday morning. So, but the fact is, they received him because he was the Christ.
Yes, he was.
He was the Messiah.
Amen.
He was the promised one.
Amen.
His works had shown who he was.
Yes.
And now it was time for him to be received. But you know what? If they had received him, he would have went on with the kingdom. But God already knew that they would not receive him. This is why John writes in John chapter 1, he said that he came to his own, but his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, to them he gave the authority or the right or the power to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. So God was reaching out first to the Jews, because that was the people to whom he had given the promise.
Yes.
So it's only fair and square. I'm going to come to my own first. That's why when he dispatched the 12, after he sent them out, he told them to go first to Jerusalem, then to Judea, then to Samaria. All of those are Jewish people, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria.
Yep.
Then to the uttermost part of the earth. That means all the Gentiles as well.
Amen.
Gentiles are simply people in the world other than the Jews, the separated people that God separated unto himself. That would be all other nations, kindreds, tribes, and tongues, and people anywhere else on the planet.
Yes.
But he was to go to his own first, starting Jerusalem. That's the city that he set aside for his name. Think about this now, church. Jerusalem is still sitting there today.
Mm-hmm.
Israel is one of the tiniest pieces of real estate on the planet.
Amen.
And it is a powder keg of the whole Middle East conflict. It's right centered on Israel. And we know that this whole world has an eye on Israel. Why is Israel still there? You know why? Because God is merciful.
Right.
God is gracious. He has promises that he made to Abraham all the way back when Abraham was 75 years old without child. And no such people existed as Israel. But he made promises that in your seed, speaking about Jesus, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So I'm going to bless all the families. That includes the Gentiles. But it starts off with the Jews. So he multiplied the seed of Abraham for 42 generations. You can see the lineage in Matthew chapter 1 and also Luke chapter 3. Matthew traces the lineage of Christ all the way back to Abraham. Luke traces it all the way back to Adam. And so you need to understand those two genealogies. One traces Christ all the way back to Adam, and one traces him back to Abraham. And that's Matthew that goes to Abraham. Luke goes all the way back to Adam in Luke chapter 3. So some of these people have some psychotic things. I don't want to get on my soapbox here this morning. But they want to tell you it's been billions of years. But the scripture has a definite genealogy that goes all the way back to Adam.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
Who are you going to believe? I believe God.
Amen.
I believe his word.
Amen.
I believe it's without flaw and it's perfectly accurate.
Yes.
And God has one way of salvation, it's for all people. But he started with the Jews, because that was who he promised. And God is keeping his promise in the order that he made it.
Yes.
So for just as God the Father had promised Jesus, his only begotten Son, had come right on schedule, right at the moment when he came into Jerusalem and they shouted Hosanna, they've been practicing ever since Egypt for the Messiah to come. They were saying, while we do this feast that God has called us to, one day the Son of David is going to show up. They were looking for him. That's why he said, Hosanna in the highest.
Yeah.
They were looking for him to come, and that was the day that he showed up. And it was Jesus coming in the manner that Zechariah had promised. And so they were having their ceremony, but you know what happened? Within that very week, he was received as a king, but the religious leaders of that day only grew more hateful against Jesus, which was also fully predicted in the Word of God. A fact that Jesus was heartbroken about, causing him just before this week, he went and wept over the city. And he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you slayed all the prophets that I have sent to you. He said, how would I have, many times would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her brood, but you would not. He wept over the city. He said, looked over the brow of the city that week after Palm Sunday and was disappointed that the religious people plotted to kill him. He was disappointed, although it had been perfectly prophesied.
Yes.
But you know what? Think about this. I want to give you this just to prepare for a close. I want you to understand that God is into the midst of every problem and every situation in your life.
Yes, he is.
Jesus' life was not just something that he could just do easily. It was very difficult for him to maintain a sinless condition while being hated on by people that he already knew were going to hate him.
Yeah.
It was written in the Word, they hated me without a cause. They had no reason to hate him. But it was real. The hatred they had for him was real. They one day they're saying, Hosanna, say it now. Then when you don't do like we think you're going to do, look, crucify him. In 1 week. It didn't take very long. But Jesus wept over this, and it was reality that he had to go through as a human being that somebody would do it that way. Have you ever felt rejected about anything or put down about situations that some people try to inflict on you in your life?
Yes, sir.
Then Jesus is a great friend for you because he's been through it himself. He's experienced everything you and I have been through.
Amen.
Look at what happens here in Mark chapter 11. We cut to the chase. Verse number 7. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and they cast their garments on him, and he sat up on him, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut branches down off the trees. And one of the gospel writers tell them they were palm branches, some of them, and they strewed them in the way. In other words, they made a path for him to march over as he rode in on the donkey with the fold of the coat. And they went before, and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the king, the kingdom of our father David. They cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and there it was now eventide, this was a whole big day, like the coronation of the king, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So he goes back out, Judas is still in the crowd, and you want to pray on these things throughout this week.
Yes.
And if you can attend Bible study, please come out. So as we close, I want you to understand that from that time forward until now, God has established this one way alone for all who trust and believe in Jesus, his son, who he is also the son of David,
yes,
to become saved and adopted into his eternal family by faith in him alone. That's how you get saved. You don't get saved by doing good things. There's nothing wrong with doing good things. But good things by themselves will not save you.
Amen.
A lot of people have the illusion, if I can do more good things than bad things, then God will save me. It doesn't work that way. You need to understand, those who are in Christ shall be saved. God can take you from the guttermost to the uttermost.
Amen.
If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And lean not to your own understanding. Do I need to be able to understand that? No. Just believe it. That's how you embrace it, by faith.
Yes.
And so I want you to see that we hope that you too shall make a vow today to freely receive him from this day forward to be your personal Savior and Lord. You know what? When you come to Christ, he will start to show you things that you know not.
Yes.
He'll start to fill in the gaps and things that you did not understand. He'll make the book come alive to you so that you can understand it. You know what? Nobody understands it thoroughly, but we understand it better, like the songwriter said, by and by. We understand it a little better. And God, the Holy Spirit, will be given to you in order to help you understand God's word. But you know what? The gift of salvation is available for you right now. We're going to open the doors, as we say. which I think the doors have been open already for thousands of years, because it's 2022. That's how long it was since it was the exact right time when the Messiah came. He came right at the moment God had prescribed, and everything that happened was already documented in His Word. So we hope today on this Palm Sunday of 2022 that you will put your trust totally in Jesus Christ. That you will trust Him and believe Him, lean on Him,
yes,
and depend on Him. Yes. Amen, as we have chosen to do. And you know what? He will make the relationship sweeter and sweeter.
Oh, yes, He will.
Some of us have been walking with the Lord for many, many years. And I can't say that it doesn't get a little sweeter and a little sweeter year by year. Sometimes it gets a little more difficult year by year.
Yep.
But He never lets you go. Because He said, I will never leave you. Nor forsake you. He said, lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. So if the world had ended there, He is with you. He is there for you.
Yes.
He loves you. He will accept you right where you are. Wherever you are in your challenge in life, He says, I love you and I accept you. I paid a great price for your soul to secure peace for you.
My Lord.
And to give you my righteousness. Yes. That's what we need. You know, God won't accept any righteousness except perfect righteousness. Somebody like me cannot deliver perfect righteousness to God. Only one way I can do it is get in the safety zone under the blood of Jesus Christ. I got to do just like the Jews, coming in under the blood from the cross where He was crucified for my sins. But whosoever believes in Him should not perish. Jesus went on to tell Nicodemus in John 3:16, in the most famous verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, you see that, should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm giving you the gift of everlasting life. To as many as receive Him, He gives the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on His name. Let us pray. Eternal God, we praise You, we bless You, Father.
Hallelujah!
On Sunday that Jesus, the Messiah,
yes,
came in right on time.
Thank you, Jesus, that
He would come.
Thank You, Jesus.
Father, we know that You knew He would be rejected.
Yes.
That He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief.